بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، له النعمة وله الفضل وله الثناء الحسن، صلوات الله البر الرحيم والملائكة المقربين على سيدنا محمد أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى جميع إخوانه من النبيين والمرسلين وآل كل وصحب كل ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. All praise is due to Allah, and may Allah raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and protect his nation from that which he fears for them. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, let us first have the proper intention in our hearts to attend the lesson for the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In our lesson tonight, we'll continue insha'Allah ta'ala explaining the creed of Imam al-Tahawi. We did mention previously that the creed of Imam al-Tahawi held a very high level of acceptance amongst the scholars of Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, to an extent that many wrote explanations for this creed. They authored books explaining in detail the terms used by Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi in his book, The Creed of al-Tahawi. This is so because what he wrote is the belief of Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. And at the beginning, he mentioned that this is an elucidation of the creed of Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. So that's what every Muslim must have in his heart as a belief, as a conviction in one's heart. Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi said, "We call the people of our Qibla Muslims and believers as long as they acknowledge what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called for and believe without denial in all what he said and related." The Kaaba in the Holy Mosque of Mecca is the Qibla for Muslims. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed towards Al-Kaaba, he said, "This is Al-Qibla," meaning this is where you have to face when you pray. So this is Al-Qibla. When the scholars of Islam use the term the people of the Qibla, they mean the believers, those who have the correct belief in their hearts and they pray towards Al-Kaaba. So as long as the person believes in the correct belief in his heart, we call such a person a Muslim. We can call him a mu'min as well. So Muslim, mu'min, these are the terms used to describe such a person. The one who holds the correct belief in his heart is called a believer, mu'min, and is called Muslim as well. So the Muslim is the mu'min, and the mu'min is the Muslim. There is no difference between them Islamically. Linguistically, there is a difference between belief and Islam. Because belief, when you believe in something in your heart, you believe in it. This is called belief. And Islam means submission, when you submit. So that's linguistically, there is a difference in meaning between Islam and Iman, only linguistically. But religiously, Islamically, They are the same. Imam Abu Hanifa radiallahu anhu said, Al-Islam and Al-Iman are attached to one another, same as abdomen is attached to the back. There is no abdomen without back, and there is no back without abdomen. Meaning they are together. One cannot be Muslim but not mu'min, and vice versa. So, you call the person from the people of the Qibla a mu'min and a Muslim, a believer. As long as he holds the correct belief in his heart about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger. So when one has the correct belief in his heart, then we call him a believer, a Muslim. We still call such a person a believer unless he denies or rejects what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought to us. So if he denies or rejects the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or any of them, then this person is not called a believer anymore. But as long as he has the correct belief in his heart, he's believing, he's not denying, he's not rejecting the rules of the Sharia, the rules of Islam, the Sharia, then we call such a person a believer. Then Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi continued to say, we do not indulge in thinking about the self of Allah, and we do not dispute sinfully about the religion of Allah. Since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unimaginable, one must not try to imagine the reality of Allah Azza wa Jal, because this will lead to blasphemy, wal'ayyazu billahi Azza wa Jal. Why? Because one is unable to reach his own reality. You don't know everything about yourself. If you were to be asked about the number of cells in your body, you will be unable to give any correct answer. If you were to be asked about other things as well, about yourself, you'll be unable to tell about these things, although those are in you. So how about trying to imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is unimaginable, cannot be conceived in minds, cannot be grasped by delusions, encompassed by delusions and minds, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not a creation. Now your delusions are used to imagine things that you are familiar with. As a human being, you are familiar with what? You are familiar with bodies, objects, something that has dimensions, something that has a color, a shape, a volume. This is what you got used to see. So if you were to imagine anything in your mind, that's what you're going to reach. You're going to reach this because you can't go beyond this. That's your ability to imagine something that has a dimension, a shape, a volume. But since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not a body, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not resemble the creations in any way whatsoever, you cannot imagine Allah Azza wa Jal. If you try to imagine Allah Azza wa Jal, you're going to end up likening Allah to the creations and falling into blasphemy. For that reason, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا فكرة في الرب, as narrated by Al-Ansari. Now, what does that mean? Do not attempt to imagine Allah Azza wa Jal. Why would the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warn us against attempting to imagine Allah Azza wa Jal? Because our imaginations will reach something that has a volume, something that has a shape, a body, dimensions, and the like, which are all attributes of the creations. That's why Imam Al-Ghazali mentioned a very famous statement that whoever imagines something in his mind and worships that image, thinking that this is Allah, then this person is not worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal. He is actually worshipping that image that he imagined in his mind. This is simply because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not imagined by minds. Even our minds are unable to imagine something that has been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we are not familiar with it. Like the time when darkness and light haven't been created yet. The first thing Allah created is water, then Al-Arsh above that water. Then after that, darkness and light were created. Allah Ta'ala said, وَجَعَلَ الظُّلُمَاتِ وَالنُّورِ, meaning Allah created darkness and light. Now if you were to imagine a place but with no darkness, no light, you won't be able to. You can imagine a place fully dark. You can imagine a place fully illuminated, but not to be illuminated and not to be dark, you can't imagine it. So this is something created, but you are unable to imagine it. Even in the hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, which is a hadith Qudsi, that Allah has prepared for the righteous believers what an eye has never seen, an ear has never heard of, and what has never came across one's heart. You would never imagine what types of enjoyments Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for the believers in paradise. So now if these or some of these enjoyments are described for you, as mentioned in the hadith, not everything is mentioned about the enjoyments. No one knows all these enjoyments in detail except Allah Azza wa Jal. But some of these enjoyments were mentioned in the hadith. Now if you were to imagine them, let us say a tree that has a trunk made of gold, rivers flowing on the surface of the land of paradise, palaces made of one piece of diamond or like one pearl, crystal clear. All these enjoyments, if you start thinking about them, even the horse with wings for the people of paradise, where they ride them and they move from one place to another, you start imagining, but you won't be able to get the exact description for it. So your mind is short from reaching the reality of these matters. You will be close in your imagination, but you can't be exact in your imagination. So how about Allah, the creator of the universe, the one who does not resemble the creations? We are unable to reach the reality of Allah Azza wa Jalla. That's why we have to stop at our limits and not to go further. For that reason, Imam Al-Rifa'i radiallahu anhu said a very beautiful and concise statement. He said, غَايَةُ الْمَعْرِفَةِ بِاللَّهِ الْإِيقَانُ بِوُجُودِهِ تَعَالَى بِلَا كَيْفٍ وَلَا مَكَانٍ. Meaning, the ultimate knowledge you would have about Allah Azza wa Jal is to believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists without any doubt, without a how or a place. Without a how or a place. So we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His attributes. So we know Allah exists. Allah has no beginning, has no end. That's al-awwal, al-akhir. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sami'un basir, alim, mutakallim, hay. Through these attributes we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's all what we can reach. We cannot go further to an extent that we encompass Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by our minds, we are unable to. Now, Imam al-Rifa'i radiallahu anhu said, the ultimate knowledge one would reach about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to believe without any doubt that Allah exists without a how and without a place. That's what you can reach. The one who doesn't become content with this amount of knowledge, rather he chooses to go further to reach the reality of Allah Azza wa Jal, will end up imagining Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as he would imagine a creation, and by this he would become a blasphemer. Imam Zunnun al-Masri and Imam Ahmad, these two great scholars, mentioned this statement that is basis for Muslims in belief. Whatever you imagine in your mind, Allah does not resemble it. As simple as that. Whatever you imagine in your mind, Allah does not resemble it. Because what you imagine in your mind is what? Imagination. Everyone would have a different imagination. So now I mentioned to you about some of the enjoyments of paradise briefly. I'm sure every one of you had an image come into his mind, let us say about this horse in paradise with wings. Every one of you would imagine it in his own way. So if you were to project that image in front of us or on a paper, everyone's projection will be different. Because everyone has a different imagination. So those who do not get satisfied with the amount of knowledge they can get, which is what Imam al-Rifa'i said, the ultimate knowledge one would reach about Allah Azza wa Jal is to believe with certainty that Allah exists without a place and without a how. If one does not get satisfied with this amount of knowledge and he chooses to go further, will definitely reach the stage when he imagines Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as he imagines the creations. And by this, one would turn out of Islam. Al-Bayhaqi radiallahu anhu narrated through the root of Ibn Abbas, the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he said, تَفَكَّرُوا فِي خَلْقِ اللَّهِ وَلَا تَفَكَّرُوا فِي ذَاتِ اللَّهِ, which means, ponder about the creations of Allah and do not ponder about the self of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the creations of Allah, look at the sky, look at the mountains, at the oceans, look at these little creatures you see in the sea, or for instance, look at the plants, look at these creations of Allah Azza wa Jal. All these are manifestations of the power of Allah, the Creator. So when you look at these creations of Allah Azza wa Jal, you ponder about them, that will strengthen in your heart the belief in the existence and the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The salmon fish is one example. If you watch a documentary about the salmon fish and the trip and the journey it makes, it's awesome. It grows in a pond, in the land, in a mountain. Then at a certain age, it changes its skin. The skin will be replaced with a skin that can bear the salt water, then it makes its journey down the stream from the top of the mountain, down the stream to the ocean. Then it makes a journey for thousands of kilometers. Then when it grows too old, it comes back to the same place. Then it goes up the streams. You see the salmon fish jumping 1 meter or more. Some said it could reach a 3 meter high when it jumps, because it's going upwards now, to go back to the place where it had grown. It lays its eggs, then it dies. Then the eggs will turn into fish, they will grow, and they will make that a journey as well. You look at this, and you look at the bear that targets these fish as they are jumping up. How would he know about the time when they are making that journey back to that pond where they have grown? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided them to all these. So if you look at the creations of Allah azza wa jal, that will strengthen in your heart the belief in the majesty and the glory of Allah azza wa jal. And you look at yourself, how weak you are in front of all these creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The skies that are standing firmly without pillars. How many ayahs in the Quran that urge one to look at the sky? أَفَلَمْ يَنْظُرُوا إِلَى السَّمَاءِ فَوْقَهُمْ. Haven't they looked at the sky above them? Look at the sky. That huge thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created is above you, and no pillars, and you are walking normally. You are walking under it normally. But if you ponder about the greatness and the majesty of the sky, that will reflect the glory and the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You look at the mountains, you look at volcanoes, how they erupt, and about all these creations, you will say, Subhanallah, Allah is the greatest. So that will increase your belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will strengthen your heart in the belief, in the correct belief. That's why Abdullah ibn Abbas, the cousin of the Prophet, said, ponder about the creations of Allah, but do not ponder about the self of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam al-Shafi'i radiallahu anhu summarized all this in a short statement. He said, whoever makes effort to know about his Creator and reaches a stage where he feels relaxed, content with the non-existence of Allah Azza wa Jal, then he is an atheist. If he reaches a stage where he imagines Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he is a mushabbih, meaning the one who likens Allah to the creations, a non-believer. If he reaches a stage where he believes in the existence of Allah and admits that he is unable to reach the reality of Allah Azza wa Jal, then he is a true muwahhid, true believer. That's a true believer. The one who reaches a stage where he admits in the existence of Allah Azza wa Jal, he believes in it, and he admits his inability to reach the reality of Allah Azza wa Jal, then what do we call such a person? That's a true muwahhid. So, the true believer is the one who believes in the existence of Allah Azza wa Jal At the same time, he does not liken Allah to the creations. That's what Imam Rifa'i radiallahu anhu said. So look what Imam Shafi'i said, what Imam Ahmad said, what Imam Zunnun al-Masri said, what Imam al-Rifa'i said, what Abdullah ibn Abbas said, they all come in agreement with each other. They all support each other and they give the same idea, the same belief. They serve the same purpose that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot be imagined. So that's the belief of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Then he said, we do not argue about Islam in a sinful way when no truth is defended or when one is ignorant of the rules. The one who knows the truth may defend it. As for the person who is ignorant, he must not dispute about the truth. Some scholars said, the ignorant sets forth to mend, but instead he spoils. If one doesn't know about something, he should not talk about it. If he has an amount of knowledge that enables such a person to talk about something, he would talk. Otherwise, he should remain silent. He shouldn't indulge in talking about a religious matter when he has no knowledge about it. But many people these days, when it comes to religion, they talk freely, as if they are imams and muftis of their time. When it comes to other than this, if they were to be asked about computers, let us say, they say, we don't know, we have no knowledge about it. Just imagine, for instance, you want to mend an electrical problem in your house and you have no knowledge about electricity. You start connecting wires as you like, now you won't dare to do such a thing. Because you are scared, you might mess up and maybe you could cause the whole house to be burned. When it comes to religion, if you have not enough knowledge about something, you shouldn't talk about it. You shouldn't argue about it. But if you have in your heart the truth and you want to defend it, so you want to show to others, this is my belief, this is a correct belief, it is supported by such and such and such, so you are defending your belief, this is something recommended. So that's why logically, if you were to mention to others what you believe in a logical way, in a rational way, they cannot dispute it. They cannot dispute it. When you tell them about the Creator, that God does not resemble the creations, that those who are similar to each other are susceptible to what happens to any of them. For instance, we are the human beings, so we are similar to each other. You get tired, I get tired. You get sick, I get sick. You sleep, I sleep. You feel hungry, I feel hungry. You die, I die. Why? Because we are similar to each other. So if God is a human being, then he would be susceptible to what happens to the creations, to the human beings. And by proving this point, you reach the result that God does not resemble the creation. So Allah is not a human being. Allah is not an angel. Allah does not resemble any of the creations. They are creations of God. The one who made this table is not a table. The one who made this microphone is not a microphone. Saying the one who created this whole universe does not resemble anything in this whole universe. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not resemble the creation. So this is what Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi wanted to make sure that you understand. Do not indulge in something that you have no knowledge about. If you have the correct knowledge, you hold the truth in your heart, and you want to defend it, then talk about it. Some people will try to debate with people from other than Muslims, and because they don't have knowledge, they fall into blasphemy while debating with them. People these days who do not acquire the knowledge in the proper way, they don't come like you to the mosque where they sit on the floor and they move right and left sometimes, but they are bearing this hardship to sit every week, let us say once every week for 1 hour to learn. This is a hardship. Some people do not want this. As they are lying down, they want to use an iPad, search the internet, read some articles, and they think now they have the knowledge about religion. You know, they end up with a mixture of beliefs, a bit from here, a bit from there, to an extent that if you were to try to identify this person, to put him in a certain category, you'll find it difficult. I read some books, the author would mention many contradicting things in this book. Then in the end, I tried to analyze to what school or category he belongs to, I was unable. He gets bits and pieces from everywhere. These are the lost people. But those who want to be saved would acquire the knowledge in the proper way, would go to the trustworthy ones, listen face to face, and if there is something that they are unsure about, would ask. Do not ever feel shy to ask about your religion. It's very easy these days. You have many options with the technology they have these days where you can get an answer. It's very simple. Call a trustworthy person, send him a message, try to get your answer. It's a very simple. In the past, it wasn't like this. Now it's very easy. But that doesn't mean you get your knowledge from some people might call Sheikh Google, they call it now, where they search. If they need any answer for any religious question, they search. What is the judgment of such and such? They come up with some results. That's very dangerous. That is very dangerous. That's why you need to acquire the knowledge in the right way. Sit in the mosque for 1 hour, 2 hours, every week. Try to learn. If there is something you are unsure about, ask and get your answer. Mujahid, the student of Ibn Abbas, may Allah reward them greatly, said two types of people wouldn't get the knowledge. Two types of people. The shy ones and the arrogant ones. These two types of people won't acquire the knowledge. The shy one and the arrogant one. Some ladies approached the Prophet ﷺ and asked him in the presence of men about something relating to purification, something related to female issues. But usually a woman would feel shy to ask about. She came and she approached the Prophet and she said to him, "Inna Allah la yastahi min al-haq." Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands the truth to be prevailed. So that's why I'm asking to know the truth. What's the judgment of such and such? She asked. In that deep question in this topic about something relating to women, in front of men. She didn't feel shy. She wanted to learn. Aisha radiallahu anha praised the ladies of Al-Ansar, those who were in Medina. She said, نِعْمَ النِّسَاءُ نِسَاءُ الْأَنصَارُ لَمْ يَمْنَعْهُنَّ الْحَيَاءُ أَن يَتَفَقَّهْنَ فِي الدِّينِ. Praised are the ladies of Al-Ansar. Shyness didn't stop them from becoming knowledgeable about religion. This is what Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha said. She praised these women of Al-Ansar. They never felt shy to ask something concerning to their religion. Some women do not ask about the period and other issues, and they say they feel shy. Then suddenly, after years and years, accidentally they might be in a session where they know that in such a case they have to pray. And they find out that they have been missing out many prayers throughout the past years, and they start making them up. They should ask, they should know, when do I have to pray, when I cannot pray. They shouldn't feel shy. They might ask a trustworthy woman that is knowledgeable about these issues if they feel more comfortable, but they shouldn't feel shy to ask about these issues where they remain ignorant. Now, if a person wants to buy a car, he is unfamiliar with this type of cars, what does he do? He would inquire about it. He would search the internet, read pages. He will make a thesis about it. He will call friends, specialists, experts. What do you know about this car? What do you know about this car? Why? He doesn't want to lose some money in the end. When it comes to the religion, he's very lenient. Instead of being very cautious, he's very lenient. Unfortunately, this is the case. Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi says, we do not sinfully dispute about the Quran, and we profess that it is the kalam of the Lord of the worlds. The trusted soul, Ar-Ruh al-Amin, Jibreel, came down with it and taught it to the master of messengers, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Quran is the kalam of Allah Ta'ala. None of the speech of the creation equals it. We do not say that it is created, and we do not oppose the Muslim Jama'ah. In this short statement, he summarized the belief of Al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah regarding the Qur'an. And why would he mention this in particular? Because at his time, there was a very strong debate happening between Al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah and another two groups, Mu'tazila and Mushabbiha. The Mu'tazila or Al-Qadariya, those who denied the destiny of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those who believed that the slave creates his own actions, wal'ayyazu billah, so they associated partners with Allah. And the Mushabbiha, the anthropomorphists, those who believed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a body with organs and limbs. Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah were in the middle debating that sect and that sect. Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah stated that Allah does not resemble the creations. Very simple. The attributes of Allah do not resemble the attributes of the creations. Another simple statement as well. The kalam of Allah is His attribute, so it does not resemble the kalam of the creations. What is our kalam? It's made up of what? Language. Arabic, English, French, Turkish, or whatever language you can talk. It's a language, a letter. So you pronounce letters, sounds. You make sounds when you talk. This is how we talk. But the kalam of Allah Azza wa Jal is not like the kalam of the creation. It's not a language, it's not a letter, it's not a sound. It does not resemble the kalam of the creations. So to understand it in a simple way, remember, as you say, the power of Allah does not resemble the power of the creations. The knowledge of Allah is not like the knowledge of the creations. The kalam of Allah is not like the kalam of the creations. But Al-Qur'an that we read is called Kalamullah as well, because it is not authored by an angel or by a human. Jibreel alayhi salam didn't make it up, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't make it up. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received it from Jibreel, he used to convey it to the companions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, فَإِذَا قَرَأْنَاهُ فَاتَّبِعْ قُرْآنَهُ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to repeat after Jibreel and used to rush in repeating after Jibreel in conveying the Quran, fearing that he might forget any of it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comforted him by assuring him that he won't forget anything of it. لا تحرك به لسانك لتعجل به إن علينا جمعه وقرآنه فإذا قرأناه فاتبع قرآنه. So don't rush, fearing that you might forget any part of it, because Allah assured the Prophet that he won't forget anything of it. So whenever Jibreel conveys it to you, you convey it to the companions. So Jibreel alayhi salam taught the Prophet Al-Quran. عَلَّمَهُ شَدِيدُ الْقُوَى. Jibreel taught the Prophet. And Jibreel alayhi salam, as some scholars said, heard segments of sounds in the way we recite the Quran. And he saw the whole Quran written on the preserved tablet. The whole Quran is written on the preserved tablet, and copy was made and brought down to the first sky during the night of Al-Qadr. Inna anzalnahu fi laylat al-Qadr. And Jibreel heard these segments in the same way we recite the Quran. He heard them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created in his heart the necessary knowledge that this is the Quran. So he heard these segments, he saw the whole Quran written on the preserved tablet. Then after that, he was ordered to bring down the Quran in portions to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would bring down, in some cases, one full surah, one full chapter, in some cases, some verses. So this is the way Jibreel alayhi salam heard the Quran. And Jibreel conveyed the Quran to the Prophet. He taught the Prophet. And even it was mentioned that Jibreel alayhi salam used to come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam every year, once a year, and revise the whole Quran with him. The whole Quran. And after Jibreel comes to the Prophet and revises the whole Quran with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Sahaba described him that he would be more generous than the swifty wind. Meaning he would be very generous. Out of what? Out of pleasure and happiness that he has revised the whole Quran with Jibreel. In the year he died in, Jibreel came twice to the Prophet. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Jibreel used to come once a year to revise the whole Quran with me. But this year he came twice. And I think this is a sign for my near death. And he died in that same year. So Jibreel alayhi salam told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the Quran. Now, this term Quran, to understand it, is used for two matters. It can be used in reference to the attribute of kalam of Allah azza wa jalla that does not resemble the kalam of the creations, and it can be used in reference to the revealed books, like the book that we recite these days. When you hold the Mus'haf in your hand that starts with Al-Fatiha, end with Surah An-Nas, you say this is Al-Qur'an. But you don't mean this is the attribute of kalam of Allah Azza wa Jal. You don't mean this. So this is Al-Qur'an, you call it Qur'an, and the attribute of kalam of Allah Azza wa Jal is called Qur'an as well. Both are called Qur'an. This is called Qur'an because it is an expression of the eternal and everlasting kalam of Allah Azza wa Jal. It's not the exact attribute of Allah Azza wa Jal. How would one believe that one of Allah's attributes became contained in a book? That's impossible. How would a person believe that an attribute of Allah became contained in a book, in a creation? It's like, wal-iyaz billah, someone is claiming that the power of Allah is contained in something. So this is not the actual kalam of Allah Azza wa Jal. It's an expression of the eternal kalam of Allah Azza wa Jal. So if someone says to you, do we say the Qur'an is created? Because he used that term, the Qur'an, in general, then you tell him, if you are referring to the attribute of Allah Azza wa Jal, then it is not created. But if you are referring to the book that we read, then it is created. It's in Arabic language. It starts with Al-Fatiha, ends with An-Nas, then this is created. So it depends which one you're asking about. It's very simple. Because this is called Qur'an, and the attribute of Allah is called Qur'an. The attribute of kalam of Allah is called Qur'an as well. So if someone says to you, is the Qur'an created? What do you say to him? If you are referring to the attribute of Allah, then it is not created. If you are referring to the revealed book, yes, it is created. Very simple. Now, what did the scholars say regarding using a general phrase as to say the Quran is created? The scholars said it's haram. It's not permissible to use it in this broad way without explaining. So, because some people might think from this statement that you are referring to the attribute of kalam of Allah and you're saying about it that it is created. That's why the scholars would say the Quran, kalamullah, is not created. Because when they use that general term, it is understood that they are referring to the attribute of Allah Azza wa Jal. But if they were to refer the revealed book that we read in our hands, then they said this is created. That's why Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tuhawi said here, we do not say that it is created. When he said here, we do not say that it is created, he's referring to what? To the attribute of Allah Azza wa Jal. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal was tortured at his time in order to say the Quran is created. He refused. Now, his belief is what other scholars believe, that if the Quran is used in reference to the attribute of Allah Azza wa Jal, it's not created. However, if it is used in reference to the revealed book, then it is created. But he refused to use that expression, the Qur'an is created. Why? Because the Mu'tazila influenced the ruler at that time, and he ordered the imprisonment of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. And they wanted him to say the Qur'an is created, and he refused. 150 strong men were taking turns to whip him day and night. And he refused to say that expression. Then, as Al-Hafiz Abu Nu'aym narrated in his book Hilyat Al-Awliya, that Imam Ahmad said to them, bring me someone that I can debate with. They brought him one from the Mu'tazila, the corrupted ones. The Mu'tazila are corrupt. Imam Ahmad started by asking him one question. What do you say about the knowledge of Allah? He wanted to say to him, as the knowledge of Allah is not created, the Qur'an, Kalamullah, is not created. But he said, what do you say about the knowledge of Allah? Then that one said to him, it's created, wal'ayyazu billah. Then Imam Ahmad said to him, that's what is in Hilyat al-Awliya. He said to him, kafarta ya kafir. You've blasphemed, or blasphemer, for claiming that the knowledge of Allah is created. They didn't comprehend the correct belief. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala misguided them. Whoever Allah guides, he will never be misguided. And whoever Allah misguides will never be guided. Alhamdulillah for guiding us to have the correct belief. Those people believed, some of them believed, that what we read is the actual attribute of Allah Azza wa Jal, and those are the Mushabbiha. They claim that the Kalam of Allah is made up of words, language, and sounds, walayyazu billah. And the Mu'tazila denied the attribute of Kalam of Allah Azza wa Jal. Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah confirmed the attribute of Kalam of Allah Azza wa Jal. And they said, the Kalam of Allah does not resemble our Kalam. What we recite is an expression of the eternal Kalam of Allah Azza wa Jal. It is not the exact attribute of Allah Azza wa Jal. I'll give you one example, which is very simple. If you write on the board the word Allah, if you ask someone, what is this? What he would say? Allah. What does that mean? These are the letters that we worship? Or these letters are the one that we worship? No. We mean these letters are expressions of the one that we worship. So we use this to express. So if I were to refer to Allah, the one that I worship, I would say Allah, and I would write Allah. But the sound that I pronounce, or the word that I write, is not the creator of the universe. As simple as that. If you write on the board the word fire, F-I-R-E, if someone were to be asked, what is this, he would say fire. Doesn't mean you are ready to make barbecue on it. No, it's called fire. These letters, it's an expression of that original fire that burns, that you can cook on. But it's not the exact fire that burns. It's an expression. Same you say about the Quran, this is Kalamullah. But you don't mean that these words are the attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not resemble the creations. This is the belief of Muslims. Imam Ahmad was tortured by the rulers influenced by the Mu'tazila at that time, until he died. Until he died, and he refused to say that statement that they wanted to take from him, to say the Qur'an is created, because he knew that they're going to take it out of context. They're going to say, look, Imam Ahmad said the Qur'an is created, that means the attribute of Kalam of Allah is created. So he didn't give them what they wanted. And he refused, and he was tortured until he died. May Allah have mercy on him and raise his rank. So these days, those who do not have the correct knowledge about Allah Azza wa Jalla and His attributes won't understand this concept when it comes to the Kalam of Allah. Some of them would think that Allah speaks in the way we speak. As I talk, then I remain silent, then you talk, then I listen to you. As we make our own dialogue and conversations, that's what they think. This is not the belief of Muslims. However, if you read in the hadith, or even in the Quran, that Allah said to Adam and Hawa, didn't I forbid you from eating from that tree? It doesn't mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke directly to Adam and Eve. Otherwise, Adam and Eve would become like Musa alayhi salam. See, when we say Musa Kalimullah, because he heard the eternal Kalam of Allah that does not resemble the Kalam of the creations. Hawa, Eve didn't hear the eternal Kalam of Allah. Adam didn't hear the eternal Kalam of Allah Azza wa Jal. So what's the meaning of the ayah? فَنَادَاهُمَا رَبُّهُمَا أَلَمْ أَنْهَكُمَا عَنْ تِلْكُمَا الشَّجَرَةِ. Now literally it means, the Lord called them, didn't I forbid you from eating from that tree? That's what it reads literally. But it means that the angel conveyed that message from Allah. So the angel would have told them, didn't your Lord forbid you from eating from that tree? So the angel conveyed the message, not that they heard the Kalam of Allah Azza wa Jalla, because they are not like Moses or Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because only these two prophets heard the Kalam of Allah Azza wa Jalla that does not resemble the Kalam of the creations. And angel Jibreel alayhi salam, amongst the angels, heard the Kalam of Allah that does not resemble the Kalam of the creations, but no one else. So the belief of Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah is a protection for you from all corrupted beliefs that are widespread these days on the internet, on TV, at schools, at universities. So that's why you have to give this type of knowledge a great concern. You make sure you understand them. This book, most of you purchased this book before. Revise it, read it, try to comprehend it, and once you know it all, you'll find yourself very strong in the belief of Islam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us remain steadfast on the correct belief and make our end as righteous Muslims. Ameen. And Allah knows best. We say La ilaha illallah 3 times.